Today is the 15th day of January. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire, everybody. It's cozy here, and it's safe here, and we can set all the baggage down outside the circle and just come in here, relax, exhale, allow the scriptures to wash over us and allow some perspectives maybe to be shifted, and then move back into our day oriented to God and regrouped. And so I am grateful. I need that. I'm sure that in some way, on some level, you need that. And that's why we gather. And that's why we're here, to take the next step forward. And that next step leads us back into the book of Genesis. We have Jacob and his two wives and his two basically concubines, and all of these children being born, these sons, and all of these familiar names of these sons because they become the tribes of Israel. Jacob has become very wealthy. It's taken a lot of work to get there. He wants to go back to his ancestral homeland. Man, because he had to run away. He really kind of messed over his brother Esau. He had to flee, but now he's made a life of his own, and he wants to take his household back. And so he and his wives have decided they're gonna go for it. But it's not going to be easy, and they know that they have to plan carefully. Genesis chapter 31, verse 17 through 32, verse 12. So Jacob got up, put his sons and wives on the camels, and set out with all of his livestock and all of his possessions that he had acquired in Paddan Aram, in order to return to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now, while Laban was out shearing his sheep, Rachel stole the household's divine images that belonged to her father. Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban the Aramean by not sending word to him that he was leaving. So Jacob and his entire household left. He got up, crossed the river, and set out directly for the mountains of Gilead. 3 days later, Laban found out that Jacob had gone. So Laban took his brothers with him, chased Jacob for 7 days, and caught up with him in the mountains of Gilead. That night, God appeared to Laban the Aramean in a dream and said, "Be careful, and don't say anything hastily to Jacob one way or the other." Laban reached Jacob after Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains. So Laban and his brothers also pitched theirs in the mountains of Gilead. Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done? You have deceived me and taken off with my daughters as if they were prisoners of war. Why did you leave secretly, deceiving me and not letting me know? I would have sent you off with a celebration, with songs and tambourines and harps. You didn't even let me kiss my sons and my daughters goodbye. Now you've acted like a fool, and I have the power to punish you. However, your father's God told me yesterday, 'Be careful and don't say anything hastily to Jacob one way or the other.' You've rushed off now because you missed your father's household so much. But why did you steal my gods?" Jacob responded to Laban, "I was afraid and convinced myself that you would take your daughters away from me. Whomever you find with your divine images won't live. Identify whatever I have that is yours in front of your brothers and take it." Jacob didn't know that Rachel had stolen them. Laban went into Jacob's tent, Leah's tent, and her two servants' tent and didn't find them. So he left Leah's tent and went into Rachel's. Now Rachel had taken the divine images and put them into the camel's saddlebag and sat on them. Laban felt around in the whole tent but couldn't find them. Rachel said to her father, "Sir, don't be angry with me because I can't get up for you. I'm having my period." He searched but couldn't find the divine images. Jacob was angry and complained to Laban, "What have I done wrong and what's my crime that you've tracked me down like this? You've now felt through all of my baggage, and what have you found from your household's belongings? Put it in front of our relatives and let them decide between us. For these 20 years I've been with you, your female sheep and goats haven't miscarried, and I haven't eaten your flock's rams. When animals were killed, I didn't bring them to you, but took the loss myself. You demanded compensation from me for any animals poached during the day or night. The dry heat consumed me during the day, and the frost at night. I couldn't sleep. I've now spent 20 years in your household. I worked for 14 years for your two daughters, and for 6 years for your flock. And you changed my pay 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the awesome one of Isaac hadn't been with me, you'd have no doubt sent me away without anything. God saw my harsh treatment and my hard work and reprimanded you yesterday." Laban responded and told Jacob, "The daughters are my daughters. The children are my children. And the flocks are my flocks. Everything you see is mine. But what can I do now about my daughters and about their sons? Come, let's make a treaty, you and me, and let something be our witness." So Jacob took a stone, set it up as a sacred pillar, and said to his relatives, "Gather stones." So they took stones, made a mound, and ate there near the mound. Laban called it Jagar Sahaduta, but Jacob called it Galeed. Laban said, "This mound is our witness today," and therefore he too named it Galeed. He also named it Mitzpah, because he said, "The Lord will observe both of us when we are separated from each other. If you treat my daughters badly, and if you marry other women, though we aren't there, know that God observed our witness." Laban said to Jacob, "Here is this mound, and here is the sacred pillar that I've set up for us. This mound and the sacred pillar are witnesses that I won't travel beyond this mound, and that you won't travel beyond this mound and this pillar to do harm. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor will keep order between us." So Jacob gave his word in the name of the awesome one of his father Isaac. Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and invited his relatives to a meal. They ate together and spent the night on the mountain. Laban got up early in the morning, kissed his sons and daughters, blessed them, and left to go back to his own people. Jacob went on his way, and God's messengers approached him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And he named that sacred place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau toward the land of Seir, the open country of Edom. He gave them these orders, "Say this to my master Esau. This is the message of your servant Jacob. I have lived as an immigrant with Laban, where I've stayed till now. I own cattle, donkeys, flocks, men servants, and women servants. I'm sending this message to my master now to ask that he'll be kind." The messengers returned to Jacob and said, "We went out to your brother Esau, and he's coming to meet you with 400 men. Jacob was terrified and felt trapped. So he divided the people with him and the flocks, cattle, and camels into two camps. He thought, "If Esau meets the first camp and attacks it, at least one camp will be left to escape." Jacob said, "Lord God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, who said to me, 'Go back to your country and your relatives and I'll make sure things go well for you. I don't deserve how loyal and truthful you've been to your servant. I went away across the Jordan with just my staff, but now I've become two camps. Save me from my brother Esau. I'm afraid he will come and kill me, the mothers and their children. You were the one who told me, I will make sure things go well for you, and I will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, so many you won't be able to count them. Matthew 10, 24 through 11, 6. Disciples aren't greater than their teacher, and slaves aren't greater than their master. It's enough for disciples to be like their teacher, and slaves like their master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, it's certain that they will call the members of his household by even worse names. Therefore, don't be afraid of those people, because nothing is hidden that won't be revealed, and nothing secret that won't be brought out into the open. What I say to you in the darkness, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, announce from the rooftops. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body, but can't kill the soul. Instead, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Aren't two sparrows sold for a small coin? But not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father knowing about it already. Even the hairs of your head are all counted. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who acknowledges me before people, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But everyone who denies me before people, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Don't think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I haven't come to bring peace, but a sword. I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. People's enemies are members of their own households. Those who love father or mother more than me aren't worthy of me. Those who love son or daughter more than me aren't worthy of me. Those who don't pick up their crosses and follow me aren't worthy of me. Those who find their lives will lose them. And those who lose their lives because of me will find them. Those who receive you are also receiving me. And those who receive me are receiving the one who sent me. Those who receive a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Those who receive a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. I assure you that everybody who gives even a cup of cold water to these little ones because they are my disciples will certainly be rewarded. When Jesus finished teaching his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the things the Christ was doing, he sent word by his disciples to Jesus asking, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for another?" Jesus responded, "Go report to John what you hear and see. Those who were blind are able to see. Those who were crippled are walking. People with skin diseases are cleansed. Those who were deaf now hear. Those who were dead are raised up. The poor have good news proclaimed to them. Happy are those who don't stumble and fall because of me." Psalm 13. For the music leader, a song of David. How long will you forget me, Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I be left to my own wits? Agony filling my heart. Daily, how long will my enemy keep defeating me? Look at me. Answer me, Lord my God. Restore sight to my eyes. Otherwise, I'll sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I won. My foes will rejoice over my downfall. But I have trusted in your faithful love. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. Yes, I will sing to the Lord, because he has been good to me. Proverbs 3:16-18. In her right hand is a long life. In her left are wealth and honor. Her ways are pleasant. All her paths are peaceful. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who hold her tight are happy. Okay, so in our Genesis reading today, it's a pretty anxiety-filled time for Jacob. So he and his wife, their children, his household, have fled from Laban in the north. Laban finds out about it, gathers his men, and pursues them. And that brings about a pretty significant amount of drama, which results in this kind of tension-filled treaty. And then they part ways, promising not to do evil against each other. So once he's dealt with that, which was one of the concerns that kept him from leaving a long time, then Jacob had to immediately turn to the anxiety and apprehension that's in front of him, because his brother Esau is to the south. And the last time they had any interaction, Esau was planning to murder Jacob and kill him for what he had done. So even though a couple of decades have passed, they did not part on good terms. Jacob had all this trickery, had purchased Esau's birthright and stolen his father's blessing, which gave him everything his father had. So the relationship between them was destroyed when they parted company. So this is about as unhealthy as it gets. So now that Laban is dealt with, he's got to deal with his brother Esau, and he sends messengers ahead of this entire caravan, like as a sounding, to get some clarity on what he's running into. So he sends messengers to Esau to tell them about Jacob, to tell them about his brother and that he's coming. When the messengers returned, it was not good-sounding news. They told him Esau is on his way to meet them with 400 of his men. Immediately, Jacob is thinking the absolute worst. They are about to get attacked. His brother is still deeply, deeply resentful and is going to live up to his promise and try to kill Jacob. And maybe we have been in situations like this, not mimicking the exact criteria, but maybe we've been in situations where we've been overwhelmed by anxiety and stumbling over problem after problem. As soon as we've solved one thing, then there's this other thing that comes out of nowhere, and then we've got to deal with that. Kind of like we're in the middle, and what's behind us and what's in front of us is all difficult and hard. what's in the past and what's in the future is haunting the present. The reading from Psalms shows that King David actually completely related to these feelings as well. How long, Lord? How long are you going to forget me? You're going to forget me forever? How long are you going to look the other way? Man, the times that test us in this way, it's near impossible to have perspective and understanding as it's happening, but a lot of the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time, in retrospect, there was purpose. These tests become like the barometer of our soul. What do we really believe in? Who do we really believe in? Where is our trust actually? We must imitate the posture of Jacob, because he's in this actual situation and he's faced with the prospect of losing everything. And he prays, Lord, you told me to go back to my land and to my relatives. You promised me you would treat me kindly. I'm not worthy of your unfailing love. I'm not worthy of faithfulness. But Lord, please rescue me from the hand of my brother Esau. You promised me I will surely treat you kindly. I will multiply your descendants until they become as numerous as the sands along the seashore. Too many to count. Holy Spirit, we're not likely facing the circumstances Jacob did, but we do know the feeling of being caught in between. We do know the feeling of solving one thing only to be hit with another and another and another, like the hits don't stop. We do know what it's like to have regrets of the past and anxiety of the future that destroys our present. So we do understand what's happening in this story and what it feels like, and maybe we're feeling that right now. Holy Spirit, dear Comforter, calm us down. Give us the space to take some breaths and breathe, and allow that breath to calm our nervous systems down and reorient ourselves to the fact that we are not alone. You are present, and we can hide in the shadow of your wings, regardless of what the circumstances look like or bring. We can trust, we can hold on to you, and we do. Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. It is the website. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base as well, and that's the app. Either one will have you at home base, and you're going to want to be at home base. Stay connected to what is happening around here. Be connected to the community. Check out the community section. That is where to get connected. The prayer wall is there. There are also links to all of the different social media channels that we participate in. So if you are in the social media spaces, then we are probably there too. Staying connected to the journey and following. Get some behind the scenes stuff and some just encouragement, words of encouragement along the way as we take the journey, because we're on a long journey through a year together. So let's stay connected. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. We would not be on this journey if we were not in this together as a community. So there is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button at the top. But there are a number of numbers that you can dial depending on where you are in the world. In the Americas, 877-634-3337. If you are in the UK or Europe, 44-2033-18-4217. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 612-6108-4605 is the number to dial. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, everybody. This is Following the Pillar. I just wanted to call in a prayer for the woman. I didn't catch her name. Recording kind of cut out for a second. But she's getting surgery for a hernia. And God just laid that on my heart, having just been through that, to call in for her. So, Lord God, we lift this woman, our sister, up to the throne of grace. Lord God, we pray that you would have your hand on this operation, Lord God, that you would touch the nurses, touch the doctors, guide their hands, that they may do what they need to do, that they would repair that wall to the way that you meant it to be. Lord God, and we pray for her body, Lord God, that as it heals correctly, that it heals strongly, Lord God. And we pray that you would give her the strength to have patience. Lord God, I know that was and is one of the hardest parts of the recovery so far for me, is just giving myself time. So we pray, Lord God, that you would just give her the patience to give her body time to recover, to do what it needs to do, as you have your hand in it. So we pray all of this, Lord God, in your holy son Jesus' name.
I'm Johnson Jr. This is Nancy from Nebraska, and I'm just calling to say how sorry I am to hear about the loss of your mom. We are just going to continue lifting you and your family up in prayer. I was so thankful to hear you tell us how God has just move.
Hey, DAB, this is Maranatha Matt. It is January 9th, and just wanted to call in and say thank you to each and every one of you who has prayed for my wife and I as we walked through just a very difficult pregnancy over the past several months that ultimately ended with our son Caleb being stillborn back on December 8th. Truly appreciate your prayers. We felt them. And so just thank you very much for praying for us. Also want to give a special thank you to Hands to Heaven, who contacted me and just has been very, very kind and loving and supportive. So thank you, Hands to Heaven. Just also want to tell you guys that one of the big benefits of this trial for my wife and I has been just a greater appreciation for the body of Christ and just the privilege of bearing one another's burdens and lifting each other up in prayer. So I just want y'all to know that I'm praying for you as your requests come into the prayer line. I'm praying along with you and truly appreciate your prayers. And so thank you all very much. Just want to leave you with Philippians 1 verse 3 that says, I thank my God every time I remember you. I'm truly thankful for y'all. Thank you once again, and Maranatha.
This is Valerie in Greenville, South Carolina, and I just wanted to echo what the lady on January 10th was saying about how Brian always says, I love you. That has also been really meaningful for me every day after I went through 3 surgeries alone without my family. every single day I say it out loud along with Brian, and every single day it makes me cry. But I say it out loud because I think it's really important for us to hear it from someone. And not only that, I think it's important for us to say it to ourselves, and to hear it from ourselves. Because yes, we do know that God loves us, and that's important. And I also, when I wake up first thing in the morning, I have an alarm that says, good morning, beautiful. I love you, Jesus. And I start talking to Jesus. I tell him I love him out loud. But I think it's important for us to say these things out loud and to surround ourselves audibly with love. But every morning, you know, I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow. That promise, and that I am loved. It's a beautiful thing, Brian, and I appreciate you taking those few extra seconds to say that. It means everything. Thank you for being faithful with it.